So I mentioned to you that it's me that's supposed to be preaching today. And with me, as you know, the term preaching is fluid. So that's about what we're going to have today as well. I don't remember the day as a kid when I found out that the original Hebrew and Greek text of Scripture didn't have chapters or verses. Do any of you remember finding that out? No, it just kind of happened, right? Yeah. You look in your Bible, and it's conveniently, you know, marked in paragraphs and chapters and little verses. And if you read the New American Standard, the older version of that, every single sentence and verse is a paragraph. And then when I found out that that's not how the Greek and the Hebrew was done, I felt betrayed. I did. I felt like, what can I believe anymore then? And I guess that's the best word for it. And I thought, you mean to tell me that the Holy Spirit inspired writers and they didn't have the decency to break things up into little bites for us? How will we ever be able to take things out of context? What a travesty. Yeah. Well, it's because of this, though, that when I look at the book of Galatians, I see it as a whole letter, not just chunks. And Jeff has been going through the majority of what we will call chapter 5, and today I want to look at chapter 6. So I kind of see it like this. Paul has just told the church in Galatia, and us too for that matter, that a life filled with the Holy Spirit does not have all these things. And those things, if you want to look back on them, are in verses 19 to 21. But instead results in these things that we call what? We've talked about this the last couple weeks. The fruit of the Spirit, right? And you can see verses 22 and 23. Then I believe Paul goes into a for instance mode. And that's how he starts chapter 6. So what I mean by that is the Holy Spirit does not look like this. It looks more like this. And let me give you some examples of what that will do in your life. So he starts off by saying, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. I don't know if anybody's ever had that happen to you. I have. It's very awkward. But at least the gentle part was there. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens. And I like the word, I almost went old school with King James on this today because I love bear one another's burdens. I like the word bear. It has a little more intensity to me than carry. So bear each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they're not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap life eternal. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Now, we could get weeks of lessons out of just those 10 verses. I want to focus on just a couple things. I should say that the concept is super simple. The putting into practice is super difficult, apparently. So bear with me. I didn't even do that on purpose. How about that? So carry or bear each other's burdens. That's part one. And then let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. Now, a few months ago, Jeff and I sat down to plan the first part of this year, and we talked about going through Galatians, and he said, I should do this particular section because of the experience I have had in the burden-carrying category. Wasn't sure exactly how to take that, but if you don't know me, those burdens include, and this is a partial list, I lost my mother. I lost a very, very dear friend and coworker. I lost two more very dear friends. One was my therapist. One was my life mentor. I lost two cousins, an uncle, two high school friends. I had chronic pain that had me balled up on my bed crying for death, literally. I had to have back surgery to fix that, and I went through a divorce. All in an 18-month span. And I remember telling the elders that, and Randy Noble at the time said, man, you know, with all these things, this was in reference to the divorce I was about to face, said, you are going to be able to come from a place of empathy with a lot of people. And I told the elders, I'm like, I'm tired of being the poster child for personal life trials. Done. So tired of it. But so be it. I think God does his best work on broken people, and I are one. I do want to go back almost exactly 5 years. In 2 weeks, it will have been 5 years since I knew that I was going through a divorce. So this Sunday that I came to church for the first time, knowing that my marriage ended, I vividly remember looking around this room and counting everyone that I knew that had been personally affected by divorce in some way. Now, I'd never had a reason to do that. I never considered it, so I kind of, in my mind, reasoned that not many people would relate to what I was about to go through. I had no idea and was blown away with the number of people who had been affected by, either directly or in their family, by divorce. What I figured out was I certainly was not alone, but neither was I in much of an emotional shape to help others at that time. I do remember praying, and I pray it regularly, that if I have to go through this, then let me serve you with it when I can. Not a very easy ask, but thanks to God's grace and a lot of you, I think God's answered that prayer many times over. There have been other moments like that for me at this point with other burdens of life, and others of you have traveled these similar roads. I was absolutely sure I knew where I wanted to go with a 23-minute sermon on this text with the premise of bearing burdens and doing good. I had plenty of time to plan for it and write it. Then last week, I was talking to Jeff about today. I was telling him about the things that many of our members have had to deal with through the time that I've been here. I've referenced people, some by name, some by stories, just saying they've been through some terrible burdens in the form of horrible disease or loss or illness, or drug and alcohol addiction, divorce, knowing the pain that your children are going through because of divorce, a loss of pregnancy, or near financial ruin. And sadly, there are multiple examples of all of those things and more. And with several instances, Jeff said, I had no idea they went through that. And that's when I scrapped my sermon. Seriously. And I'll share more about that in a few minutes. Right now, let's stand together. We'll sing The Greatest Commands and What the Lord Has Done in Me.
God is love. God is love. God is love. God is love.
So after scrapping my lesson, it occurred to me that some of you, like me, had not taken the time to realize that as you sit in this room with your brothers and sisters in Christ, you are not alone in whatever it is that you have been through, are going through, or will go through. It also has occurred to me that many of us, way too often, are afraid. Or maybe we're too shy or too proud or too something to let anyone know that we're struggling or dealing with a massive burden. I get some of that. I mean, some of us, some of you have grown up in the pull yourself up by the bootstraps generation. My dad's in that generation. And I've seen him struggle where I'd be like, Dad, just, you know, get some help. No, I gotta get through it. Maybe that mentality's there, or maybe it's no one's business what I'm dealing with. That kind of thinking. All right. But I'm here to tell you that there is a better way. And that way is to bear each other's burdens. To that end, I want you to hear from some of your brothers and sisters from right here. There was nothing I could say to the last three quarters of this lesson that could be more powerful than you hearing from people that are your peers right there in those seats, not some professional minister. So I asked several people if they would share. Now, each one of them has had this church bear a burden for them at some point in time. Now, the list is long who could share similar stories. And I asked several people who said, I don't think I'm up to it. I get it. It's fine. Not a problem. But I want you to be able to hear from people who have gone through or will go through things that all of us face. So a few weeks ago, we had the opportunity to get excited about Harrison Woolard, finishing up ringing the bell for being leukemia free. And you remember they were up here, and Harrison and Barrett were here, and they're each other's best friends, and wow, that's too cool. I still think that when they're teens, that may change. But my little brother and I, we went through we're best friends, we hate each other, now we're best friends again. So, you know, it works out. Caitlin texted, she was texting Jeff about this, and she said, you know, if there was one more thing I could share with my church family. So here's what she says. This is from a family that's now been on the receiving end, and is that the power of the receiving end is that this power in this church, their prayers are incredible. The power of this church's love is amazing. And the power of this church's generosity and support is huge. We have witnessed this firsthand and have been so positively impacted by it. While we have good news, so many families are still struggling with sickness and sadness. So keep praying. Keep showing up. Keep showing people the love of God. We are so grateful to be part of this church family. She happens to be out of town. She said she'd be happy to share that in person, but she's out of town this week, as are a few of the people that I called on to do. So we're going to hear from three different people via video and three people live here in our auditorium with us this morning. So Steve Holly is going to be sharing via video, and then Maxine Meadows, and then Marcus Cameron. And I don't know if you had an opportunity to meet Marcus. They were here for like that long. They came in broken, and he says they left healed, and I love it. And you'll hear from more of him. Then we're going to talk to Roger and Paulette over here. Yeah, y'all are going to be easy to find. And then finally, Melissa Sharp is going to share. So at this point, I want to introduce Steve Holly.
Good morning. My name is Steve Holly. My wife, Faye, and I have been members of Westport Road Church of Christ for over 30 years. In 2018, I was diagnosed with prostate cancer. In June of that year, I had surgery to remove my prostate. Initially, everything went fine, but I developed an infection that put me back into the hospital and almost killed me. Later, as time went on, in early 2019, it was determined that I still had cancer, and I was scheduled for radiation treatments. The C word can be devastating, and there are so many emotions involved. There's fear, anger, hope, pain, worry. Throughout that period, I gained a significant amount of strength from my Christian friends here at Westport Road. They prayed for me. They encouraged me. I could feel their strength, and I could feel peace in that relationship. There was a time, early one morning, about 6 o'clock, my first radiation treatment. Steve Stack and Brown Massey pulled up beside of me as I waited there to go in to encourage me. That was a great strength for me, and I'll never forget it. Many times over the course of that 2 years, I talked to Charlie Bowman, who'd been through the same thing I had been through. He helped me to understand what was going on. He helped me to overcome my fear. We are all going to have troubles in this life. It's promised to us in the Bible. But we can all gain strength from each other. God is going to use that trouble to help build you as a Christian. I believe God brought me to this church to face my cancer, to persevere, and to prepare to help others. I believe that God intended for His church here on earth to be that, to be strength, to be encouragement for each other. And I believe that this church at Westport Road is the best reflection of that intention. And I encourage everyone, as you face your troubles, as you face your burden, be courageous. Share your burden. That's what God built this church for. And we are ready to be there for you. May God bless you.
Y'all don't. Whoa. If you guys don't know Maxine Meadows, you're missing out. This is a wonderful woman, and I'm glad to be a close friend. But I asked you if you would share a few thoughts as well.
Yes, yes. Good morning to all my church family. It's wonderful to be here. Tom and I, my husband, were here for about 30 years, maybe a little more, and we had enjoyed every minute and every one of you. Tom passed away on October the 27th, 2023. We had been married for 63 years. I turned to my two sons and my family and my church family. Arnis and Doug were so helpful with planning a funeral, and my friends in the church family helped me through the funeral and beyond. The grief was not something that I was prepared for. Without the family and friends and our church, I could not have continued to be normal each day. The sharing of physical help and the love, it brings us closer together. The comfort of the Holy Spirit, prayers, and my deep belief helps me through each day. May God bless our church family here at Westport Road. Thank you.
This is Marcus Cameron.
Hi, Westport Road family. Marcus Cameron here speaking for myself, my wife Heather, and little Lincoln. Greetings from sunny Tampa. Doug reached out to me and asked me to share how the brothers and sisters at Westport Road helped to carry our burdens in the time that we were there, although it was too short. And really, when we came, honestly, I think we had so much bottled up inside of us, so much stress and pressure. I think it was with our son's special needs, but there was guilt in how we handled some of our past relationships. There was a major life transition happening. We were changing occupations for the first time in about 6-8 years, and we just needed, I think, grace and peace to really talk about things and just have deep, mature relationships where we felt safe. And I think that was a big thing being at Westport Road, is we just felt protected by everyone, not just the eldership and the leadership, but it was just really everyone who we built relationships with. And but it wasn't just one person and one relationship combined. It was really everyone that we got a chance to interact with. But we do want to lift up the Grady Share group. You know, those are our people right there. And I think it was not only while we were there, but it's how they continued to follow up with us even after we left, showed that the motive was not just to kind of build the local church, but it was really for God's glory. So we love you guys. You're in our hearts. Hope somebody's inspired or draws close to the Lord through it. We thank you for all you've done for us. We love you. We will see you soon.
This is Paulette Summers. If you don't know Paulette, again, you're missing out. Ready?
Romans 12:9-10. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor for the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. As I reflect on this scripture, I see our Westport Road family. Westport Road has shown sincere love and support and kindness to my family in at least 6 areas of the most challenging times in life: marriage, divorce, birth of children, sickness, having a parent in a nursing home, death of a dog, a beloved dog, death of parents, and death even by murder. For today, I will focus on how our dear church family bore our burden and showed sincere love when our first grandson was murdered, our DJ. On August the 1st, 2021, I cannot convey to you how horrible a burden it was to bear, but our Westport Road family loved us, blessed us, and brought much comfort to us. They came to our home, sat with us, prayed over us, and did many acts of kindness in cards and texts and more prayers and all kind of kindness, food and everything. As our daughter, precious daughter Kimberly, proceeded to make DJ's arrangements, our church family was so concerned that we had everything we needed in this most difficult, challenging time. At the time, our daughter attended Hunsinger Lane Baptist Church with seating capacity of 200 to 250. Our dear sister, Carol Gilmore, said to me, and I quote, "That church's seating will not meet the needs of the crowd. You just need, you and Kimberly and the family, you need to have everything here at Westport Road." And I quote again, she said, and Arnest said, "Just bring the Baptist preacher on in here." "That is not a problem. Wow, what sincere love. No concern with traditions or what people might say or think. Just concerned with the hurting family that they love and showing the love of Jesus." And of course, Carol was right. Our church seats 700 or more, and it was filled to capacity. For those of you who were blessed to attend DJ's Celebration of Life, you can attest to it that it was amazing. You could feel love everywhere in spite of the sadness in the midst of us. I also must share this with you. The Hunsinger Lane Church family wanted to host the repast, so our precious Westport Road family provided the catered meal, and my sisters in Christ went to Hunsinger Lane Baptist Church to work with the ladies there to serve us. When the whole family returned from burying our DJ, I will never forget when I walked in and saw Belinda Fields and my other sisters in their Westport Road aprons waiting to serve our family. It was sincere love being poured out on a hurting family. I know without a doubt our Westport Road family was the hands and the heart of Jesus to us at one of the most difficult times of our lives, and it made all the difference. So I challenge the young members here, the 20s, the 30s, the 40s, and even the 60s. There is a heritage and a legacy of love here. We came in 1995. It was here then, it is here now, and you must carry it on for your children, your grandchildren, and the world, because love never fails, 1 Corinthians 13:8. And the world needs to see sincere love, active and alive and on display in the lives of God's people. It is the only thing that truly matters, how we love God and how we love people. Thank you.
You can stay seated if you want. This is Roger Kaufman. I think most of you know Roger. Served as one of our shepherds for a while, a wealth of wisdom, and lots of fun ministry stories, too, if you've got time to sit down and hear them.
Hang on, fasten your seat belts. We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. We we experienced things over the last 3 or 4 years that we had never experienced before in our lives. I think the Lord was trying to tell me a lot of things, but one of the things was that, you know, you exercise, you try to stay in good shape, you try to eat well, you live a clean life, and you've never been in the hospital, never had any major physical problems, you know, you're going to live forever. And I know I am, but I, you know, in a different way. But we found out about 3 years ago that I started stumbling and falling around and didn't know what was going on. And so finally, the doctor said, our primary care doc said, I need to get you with some folks who know more about all that than I do. And so went to see a surgeon, a sweet little lady, and she said, don't know what's going on, but we're going to have to do some exploratory surgery. And I said, tell me about it. And she said, well, it starts with a craniotomy. And I said, I don't know that word, but I don't want to hear it again. And so she said, she sat down with our whole family, and she said, let me lay out your options. I don't know what Roger's problem is, but I think I can find it out if you give me an opportunity. But she said it does involve major surgery. And what do you all want to do? And so she said, you've got a couple options. You can forget about it. He's 80. I was 82 at the time. He's 82. He's had a long life. He can have a few more years, I think, and everything be okay. And we just forget about it. Just let this be another chapter in the history of his life and forget about it. Just enjoy what life you have left and don't go through all this surgery. And she said, what do you think about that? And our boys said, that's not Dad. he won't do that. That's not what he wants. And so she said, well, next thing you're going to say is, can we do a biopsy? Can we find out what's wrong? And she said, no, we can. But she said, I'll already be where I need to be to do whatever needs to be done. And so forget about a biopsy, and let's just go full bore on surgery. And so that was the decision we made, all in a week's time, not knowing the first part of that week that this old guy who had never even been in the hospital overnight was going to start out his surgery experiences with brain surgery. But that's what we did. And everything went well. I felt good about everything. In fact, everybody was thinking it's cancer, and the doctor was thinking that very same thing too, but it was not cancer. But she was able to find the problem is in the cerebellum. There was a terrible infection, a pocket of infection that had settled in my cerebellum, the back part of my brain that controls your balance and walking and all that sort of thing. And so we did the surgery and everything went well, and she was able to get rid of as much of the infection as she could and without doing a whole lot of damage to other things, she said. And I did well, went to sleep the next night on the back of my head, have never had any problem at all with everything that went on. But I was able to gain an insight into what goes on in a situation like that that I hadn't had before. 60 years of preaching and ministering and pastoring, I had been in the hospital a lot of times, visited a lot of folks, prayed with a lot of folks, shared with a lot of folks problems that they were having. And all of a sudden, I found myself on the uncomfortable end of having to receive prayers and help and hope as I faced a situation I'd never faced before in my life. And what an experience, what a revelation it was, and what a joy to be part of a church family that knew the fruit of the Spirit that Paul talks about in Galatians chapter 5. I have never felt such an outpouring of fellowship and food and everything that was a part of all of that. And it just gave me a whole new perspective on life that I never had before. And then the other thing that happened that was a new experience also was after 40 days at Brownsboro Hospital, 45 days at Fraser Rehab, and another 40 days when I came home to hospice care, that'll wake you up. I said, what's this all about? And they said, well, your team of doctors have decided that your wife's going to need help in these last few months that you have here on this earth. And so hospice is going to help her do that. And they're a great group of people and were a real encouragement to me. And I appreciated them so much. But I enjoyed the most a little graduation ceremony we had when we told them all goodbye. That they had done their deal, and I was on my road to recovery, and that their services were appreciated but no longer needed, and so that was such a blessing. But it did teach me again that, you know, death is a part of what we call life, and we need to be prepared for those situations. And there were days, even though I felt pretty good most of the time, that, as I shared with David Grady one day, there was that feeling that David had with his friend Jonathan, when Jonathan's dad, the king, was on David's trail and trying to get rid of him because he knew he was going to be the next king. And David told Jonathan, there's times when I'm only a step from death. Death is just a step away. And again, that was a brand new experience for me. And I don't know how you would handle all that situation. I know some of you have had to. And for me, the Lord and I had some long talks, some evenings there in the hospital together. And I said, I don't know what your will is in this situation. I'm prepared either way, but if you want to know exactly how I'm feeling right now, I'd like to stay around a little longer. If I could live a little longer, if that could be part of your plan, I would be happy with that decision. And that was 3 years ago, this month, and here I are. And enjoying life, back to exercising at the Y, drive to West Virginia one Sunday every other month and preach for a church over there that I've been doing now for the last 12 or 14 years. The Lord is good, and His people are good. And when you read Galatians 5 there and you read about the fruit of the Spirit, make sure you read it like it says. The fruit of the Spirit, not the fruits of the Spirit, are love, joy, peace, patience. Not only were the chapters and verses not a part of the original manuscripts, but sometimes even the punctuation was not really available in those early manuscripts. And so I think a mistake was made in the translation of the fruit of the Spirit, as though there's eight of them, you know. There's really only one. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Yeah. It is a singular entity. And out of that one fruit grows all the other things that Paul talks about there. What does that fruit look like? What does that love look like? It's joy. It's peace. It's patience. It's kindness. It's goodness. It's long-suffering. Yes. That's love in action. And that's part of love as the fruit of the Spirit. And a lot of you have learned that, and a lot of you share that love with those around you. And we've enjoyed so much being on the receiving end for the first time in our lives of that kind of reaction, that kind of involvement in our lives. We've welcomed it. Those of you that visited me in the hospital know that, you know, I didn't let any of you leave without praying for me. Young, old, male, female, I needed your prayers, I wanted your prayers, and you were happy to do that. And I'm grateful that I was able to write an article for our neighborhood magazine when it got to the point where I saw what was knew what was going to happen. And so I told Milbury, I feel we're living in the middle of a miracle. And I don't use that word often. Don't use it lightly. And so I wrote an article, submitted it to our neighborhood monthly magazine, and they published it. And as I wrote that article and got it finished right at the end, I said, as I closed the article, as sincerely and as simply and as prayerfully as I could, I said three words: thank you, Jesus. And Ruth Rice has reminded me of her love for thanking Jesus, raising the blind the first thing in the morning. The sun comes in, and she says, I've got my hands up there, and I just say, thank you, Jesus. And she said, would it be all right at church sometimes if I did that too? And I said, yeah, go right ahead, Ruth, go right ahead.
Yes, that'd be great.
Thanks, Roger.
Bearing one another's burdens. When we do bear one another's burdens, we do truly fulfill the law of Christ. I have personally experienced that multiple times. I went through a divorce many years ago, which is not at all a fun thing to go through, nor did I expect to go through that. And it affected not only myself, my children, but friends and family, and our church family. And anytime that happens, it's really important that we do bear one another's burdens, that we reach out, that we show the fruits of the Spirit, the love, the patience, the kindness, the gentleness. I cannot express to you how much and how deeply I'm grateful to all of the people that have helped us. They have pointed Christ out to me, to my children, to others multiple times. And that's just such a beautiful design of God's, that we do that when we fulfill that, that is God living in us and is showing. So I encourage each one of us to do the same thing, to give a listening ear, a wise advice, to help out for basic needs, whatever that may be, provide comfort and love. Prayers are such an important element of that, and just hugs, and going with you to different events. When we bear each other's burdens, we truly are becoming our church family. We are becoming like Christ and showing him to others. Love you all. Take care. Hey there, Westport Road family. I just wanted to remind us of another way to bear each other's burdens. One that was very comforting to me was to be an encourager, was to tell that person, hey, you're a child of God. You're a son or daughter of the Holy One, the Almighty One, the Creator, the One that's got a purpose and a plan for each of us, and you have a place in his kingdom. He's not done with you yet. And it just gives us hope and peace and joy during those hard times, because we really do feel a burden at points in our lives. But when we remind ourselves of why we're here and where we're going and that we're doing it together, it gives us that renewed purpose in life that we really need in those hard times. So I hope this has helped you all. Love you. Take care. We'll see you. We're all in Gatlinburg. Take care.
Yeah, Melissa's one of the dozen adults chaperoning Winterfest. I hope that hearing from some of your brothers and sisters has helped you understand that whatever life situation that you may find yourself in, that more than likely somebody sitting near you has been through it and gone through it, and this church has been a support. So I encourage you, if you're sitting in something thinking, man, no one will understand this, or no, and you know what? Maybe they don't understand, but they're not leaving your side. They will hang in there with you.